Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Really glad that you're with us here today. And if you're watching on Facebook Live, which you can, I probably need to adjust the camera a little bit there. Anyway, joining me today, Dr. Jill Hubbard and Mylon Yurkovich are in the studio. Hi, guys.
Hey,
hi, Steve.
Great to hear your voice and
yes,
see you,
and
Jill.
It's so fun to have Mylon here today. It's been a while.
Yes, it's good to see you, Jill.
Well, I'm glad to see you, and I hope that people will want to hear you. And to that end, they could do that by calling this number, 1-800-229-3000. That is the phone number, 1-800-229-3000. We would love to talk with you, but you'll have to call us because we don't know your number. So we'd love to do that, give you some help, hope, and healing. Now, if you're like me, a little bit frustrated over this coronavirus thing. I was expecting God to have this thing taken care of by now. Well, actually, you know, he does have it taken care of. He knows how this all ends up. We're going to be okay with him. But, guys, I was just kind of, I guess, living the dream that, okay, it's going to be really bad, and then it's going to, you know, we're going to get through it and everything. But you see these resurging things happening in Texas and California and places like that. It's a little bit depressing to me, so I need therapy from you or a therapeutic approach. I think others probably might be experiencing the same thing. It really is troubling.
Well, especially since we thought the warm weather, right, was going to be the answer, and now it's in the warm states that this is happening. So, yeah, it is quite frustrating. And so it's like, okay, we've been through this once before. How do we move forward this time? What have we learned from the first time? And I think what I have learned is there's a multitude of factors involved in this, and that we can't ignore, you know, all of them. And I have seen such an increase in depression and anxiety amongst people that I've actually had to bring people into my office because I was worried about them.
Wow. Hmm.
And so it's kind of, you know, you have to kind of weigh that out. And so, you know, now being cautious, how can we move forward being cautious but taking into consideration all the other variables as well?
That's a good point, Jill. Yeah, I would have to say the overall, all the things pressing in at one time, the cultural issues, the COVID-19 issues, the economic issues, just bring to light the idea that if you have high expectations, you're going to have a great disappointment at the end. So for a lot of us that had very high expectations, this is going to blow over in six, 8 weeks. I being one of them, found myself slumping into a place where all of a sudden they're saying this is reinvigorated. And, you know, but I remember hearing them say that there would probably be a second phase.
Right.
But I would have to say that my point is I'm trying to keep myself in a more neutral place, which protects me from the extremes, even though I would tell you and a few people listening to the show that I'm leaning a little bit more toward the depressed side just because I'm tired with all of what is going on and all what's on my plate. And, of course, everybody calls me when they're struggling, too.
Well, exactly.
Just like they call
you. That is
so
part of it,
just being the lifeguard for a lot of people is not easy.
So we got to be like God during times like this. God is rich in mercy. So let's have a little mercy for each other. Give each other some grace. Be encouraging. Because if you had a little bit of a problem when all this started, it might be even worse. We're seeing a lot of that. 1-800-229-3000. We would love to talk to you. The good news about the virus is that we're doing everything online, our conferences like Lose It for Life, August the 1st, Intimacy and Marriage, July the 25th. You don't have travel. You can access it at home. I mean, it really is one of the benefits. It would have never happened if it hadn't been for the virus.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterman here. Really glad you're joining us here today on New Life. 1-800-229-3000. Before we go to the call, I want to talk to you about our Intimacy and Marriage Intensive. If you are about to get married, or you just got married, but let's just talk about it. If you're about to get married, you could be on this and you could do this, and I don't know of anything that could help you prepare for marriage more than this conference. Now, you couldn't have done it if we were doing it live in person, because staying in a hotel room and all that. So we said, look, we're not going to deal with that. We don't want that happening. So, but now that we're doing it in your home, you can join us. And it really could
that
be
powerful. That is so exciting, Steve.
Yeah.
Seriously. I mean, I've had engaged couples that have gotten turned away because of that very fact.
Right.
And
mm-hmm.
so in this way, we could have a whole group of engaged couples.
Right. And what a great present. It's a great present to give to two people that are engaged. But look, if you've really been struggling, I don't know of anything that could help you more in the least amount of time than Intimacy in Marriage. And so please call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and we'll tell you all about it, or go to newlife.com. And don't forget, you know, we do Every Man's Battle every month. And this month, let me find that date for Every Man's Battle. That's coming up in, I can't find that date, but I'm sure it'll be there. Here it is, Every Man's Battle, July the 18th, and we would love to see you in that conference as well as the others. I have a little trouble with the call screener situation here, so we'll give it a minute. 1-800-229-3000. Today on Facebook Live, I'll tell you about that, 5 o'clock Eastern Time, I'm continuing my series on recovering from divorce, and I hope you'll join me. We're going through the 12 steps. I don't know what step we're on today, but we'll be going deeper into that. You know, one of the problems of recovery from divorce is you don't have a plan. If you get if you have alcoholism, you have a plan. If you're depressed, you go see a therapist and they have a plan. It might involve exercise, medication, seeing them. Divorced people, they're just kind of out there hanging out there hurting. And so what we've done is we've put together a plan for you. And you could be part of that plan, and it's really great. It's working through the 12 steps. And the thing about the 12 steps is that even though you might not have created the problem or caused the problem or decided for the divorce, you're stuck with the problem. And that is forgiveness, adjusting your life, dealing with all the feelings you now have about God that you never had before. I mean, it's really pretty rough. So this is a great, great, wonderful way to recover from divorce.
Yeah, and let's face it, Steve. I mean, we're no strangers to divorce, and when you're going through this, you need to talk a lot, right? And you need a lot of support. So you need people around you. So to have some ideas, some structure, some steps, ideal.
Yeah.
You know, the other thing is, at the beginning, I mentioned the idea of high expectations and high disappointments, and big disappointments. And I think it speaks also to what happens in marriage. There's a lot of extreme thinking in marriage and extreme behaviors. We're witnessing that on the news every night as well.
Yeah.
Extremism from all sides.
Right.
And then reactive extremism to what we see. And it really makes an important case. And one of the things we emphasize in the Marriage Intensive is emotional regulation, learning to hold yourself with someone else helping you, being able to stay in a zone that avoids the extremes, and because extremes never help anything.
Right.
When there's a bunch of panicky or angry people around you, if you jump right into their levels, very dangerous. So I've had to do a lot of that in the last X number of weeks and months of helping to regulate people's emotions. And if I were dysregulated myself, it wouldn't help. So I think we really need to understand that's part of the marriage intensive that Kay and I talk about, how do we settle ourselves inside so that we can behave smartly and mindfully instead of reactively?
Yeah, not easy to do under pressure. Well, we got some calls coming
in. Right.
And so I'll just take this first call. I don't even know the name of the person that's calling. We'll get the system fixed, but we'll go to this call right here first. And this, whoever it is, hi, how you doing? Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yes. How can we help?
Yes, my name is Annette, and my question was, how do you stop the seniors from being abused in these assisted living facilities? And I'm speaking of myself.
Are you in an assisted living facility and you're being abused?
I'm being abused. I was living in an assisted living facility for 25 months, and I was abused by the caregiver and the owners. Then I moved here to this facility in February of this year, and I'm being abused by the owners here. And what's going on is they are from Africa, and he found out, the people that where I used to live found out where I was living, and these people were really, really nice to me when I first moved in here in February. But now that the previous people found out where I was living, they in cahoots with each other, and now I'm being abused here at this place.
Well, you know,
so how do you stop the seniors?
Okay, well,
you got a lot of good seniors out here. A lot
yes,
of really
well,
seniors.
let me just say this: there are, I mean, it's not really, you know, something we deal with directly because you literally have to call the authorities and have them investigate, because there are agencies, there are organizations that are committed to stopping elder abuse. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just going to, you know, I think if you'll hold on, we'll try to connect you.
Yeah, and Steve, just a thought. A first line of defense is that you need advocates. So you need family members or somebody who's in your corner who can help to intervene and you know, oversee what's going on. That's often a first line.
Yeah. You know, yes, that's true. And family advocates are one of the most important things you can have throughout life.
Yes.
If you're in the hospital, you need one. If you're in an assisted living or a care facility, you need someone. If you don't, you know, you have to rely on what the county provides. There is a telephone number. It's legally supposed to be on the walls of all facilities.
That's right.
That is an ombudsman.
Mm-hmm. Ombudsman?
Yeah, ombudsman. That you can call and they will act as an intermediary. Mm-hmm. Even the hospital has one. If you're a patient and they have a number up here, if you feel like you're not being cared for correctly, call this number. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important also to advocate for yourself.
Amen.
And utilize the options that are given to you.
Yes.
I am very glad you called, and we'll try to give you some help off the air. Let's go to Ann, Knoxville, Tennessee. WRJZ is the station. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing okay. Ann, what's going on in your life that we might be able to help you with?
My life's it's a mess. I've got a son. He's slightly over 40 years old.
Okay.
Started out in life, great athlete, you know, promising career to go to in football, go to college. Everything was great. Had a good head on his shoulders. His dad committed suicide.
Mm. Oh my goodness!
I had remarried. So he was with his stepdad. Pretty much raised him. But anyway, his dad committed suicide. It was downhill from there. He got in trouble with drugs. And it's been nothing but trouble ever since. He's been arrested. I've let him sit in jail. And I don't know what to do. I want to help the kid.
What's he doing now? What's the status, and where does he live, and how does he make a living?
Well, he doesn't make much of a living. It's so complicated. Everything got so out of control. He got in trouble when he was real young, and he lost his license. He got a couple DUIs. He lost his license, He went through all that. Well, we got his license. I paid and got his license back and gave him my old car to get him, help him get started, to mm-hmm. get, you know, get a job and get back on track. Well, he didn't. Mm-hmm. He had a baby out of wedlock with this girl that was, she was really pretty terrible.
Okay.
But anyway.
So here's the question. Has anything been done, or has he done anything to get any kind of help?
No.
Okay.
And
so
I tried to talk to him, and I don't know what he, I don't know what his problem is. I know he drinks, but I've got a suspicion that he's doing more than that. But if he is, he won't tell me.
Okay. Are you providing him any more money now? Are you providing resources for him now?
Once in a while, I'll give him maybe $20. He's working on an that's in my family. He's fixing it. He's really good with carpentry work, and he's doing that. I'm not paying him to do it, mm-hmm. to do the work.
Okay. All right.
Because I can't right now. But
yeah.
Once in a while, he'll need gas money, so I'll give him a $20 bill. But I don't like doing that because I don't think it's all going to gas.
So usually someone in that kind of situation, there's, you know, drug, alcohol, that kind of involvement. And
right.
I would think the first step would be to have a heart-to-heart talk with him about that and ask him what he thinks about that in his life, if that's had any.
And he won't he won't talk to you.
Okay. All right. So then maybe you have to start doing some things yourself, and he would notice those things, like you going to some Al-Anon meetings or other things like that. Are you getting help? Let's see what Mylan and Jill have to say about it.
Well,
what do you guys think?
And it's really heartbreaking because, you know, I mean, this is your kid, no matter what age he is. And it sounds like you have done everything you can for him to give him every opportunity. And unfortunately, you know, drugs do take you down a different path. And some people seem to be able to do drugs and then they leave that stage behind. And others, it grabs hold of and it becomes a way of life. And this is what's happened to your son. And at a certain point, all of your efforts, you know, it's just like kind of, I hate to say this, but throwing pearls before swine, because he's not grabbing
yeah.
hold and doing something with it. And so you have to really use that guide of, you know, you don't do for someone else what they need to do for themselves. And so, you know, if he was really depressed and couldn't get to a doctor, okay, you drive him to the doctor. But when he keeps going out and doing things and all of the good that you try to do for him is you working harder for his life than he's working for his life, then something's wrong with that picture. But it's painful as a mom when you have seen all the good in him and all the potential, and he doesn't see it in himself and doesn't seem to want it.
It almost sounds like maybe he doesn't even know or think he has a problem, that it's, you know, maybe your problem or something like that. Mylan, what are your thoughts here?
Well, Ann?
He sees everybody else's faults but his own. I do
right.
agree
yeah,
with that.
Yeah.
And he has at times he has a terrible temper. I mean, it's like it's not even him. And then
those are drugs.
I'll see the old, you know, the old lead come out. I'll see
well, let's listen to what Mylan has to say here, Ann. Let's see what
Mylan says. Ann, I have a quick question. How old was your son when you got divorced from his father?
Oh, he was young. He was like, I was right after he was born. Hmm. We got divorced. Year old at the, you know, the most. He had visitation with his dad.
But Ann, hold on. Mm-hmm. And how much difficulty was in the home before the divorce took place? How much arguing, fighting, difficulty was taking place before the divorce took place?
Terrible.
Okay. So what you have is you have a child, and we think these children are small because they're not speaking, but what a child does in their developmental years is they absorb the emotionality of the home. If there's one thing they do, they absorb the emotional atmosphere of the home. And we must start there, really.
And they live it out.
Mm-hmm. And they live
some
and they live
form.
It out. So
that's the beginning.
We're going to a break, and we'll come right back to that.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Jill Hubbard and Mylon Yurkovich. He's going to talk a little bit to Ann about what she can do to help a boy who's stuck.
Well, first of all, I think it's important. If we're going to win at anything or be on the side that has the best chance of winning in any kind of a situation, we have to be knowledgeable. And to realize the trauma your son has been through, even as an infant, even though his stepfather raised him and may have been a really great guy, we haven't asked about him yet, and then the loss of his father through suicide. And we know that this started somewhat early, you know, in high school, he's getting DUIs, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. One of the things I would want to do with my son is I would require that I would ask him for 5 minutes. And especially when he wants a $20 bill. I do believe in bribery with teenagers and 40-year-olds. Uh-huh. Because it's a quid pro quo. They want something? Okay, I'll give it to you, but you're going to give me something. Mm-hmm. And I would say, look, I really have been approaching this at a surface level, and I realize there's a lot of pain inside of you. I would like you to go to a trauma recovery group, and here's the name of that, having done the homework on it. I'd like you to go to a grief recovery group where you could recover from the grief. There are grief recovery groups all over the place. It doesn't even have to be an addiction recovery mm-hmm. group. It could be about the losses he has faced in his life. And so at that level, then you're not addressing the addiction issue. You're going to the roots of the addiction issue. Now, I think both are important. Don't get me wrong. We need to control the addictions. But sometimes we need to cry first and realize I am angry. You mentioned he was angry and that we have a lot of losses. Why are we angry? And for you to really understand that. And that's where that's the approach I would take with a person.
Well, and he
like
hasn't
that.
Responded to the drug addiction
Correct.
Help.
Correct.
Right.
I would take a different route.
Right. So this would take him out of that defensive position,
right.
perhaps.
And it puts
right.
it puts the mother into a deeply empathic
yes.
position. Honey, mm-hmm. I just talked to somebody and they helped me understand how hurt you've been over your life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's painful. No wonder you've been doing stuff and getting
drugs
angry.
And trying to get away from those feelings.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I think the clinical term is unresolved stuff. when we have unresolved stuff, it either gets resolved or it comes out in unhealthy results. And so if you could show and communicate great compassion for what he went through and help him to see there's just some unresolved stuff that has kind of taken over. And once we get that stuff resolved, the world is going to open up and there's going to be a new way of looking at things. So now I'm not talking about him. I'm not shaming him. I'm talking about a problem that once addressed, now we have hope for him.
Yeah,
that's the focus.
One of my colleagues, Kurt Roundson, is an EMDR specialist and clinician and guru. And he was on the show a couple of years ago, and I'll never forget what he said. He said, if we don't resolve our trauma, then we'll be simply, we won't live our life. We'll be living out our trauma mm-hmm. if we don't deal correctly with our trauma.
I totally believe that that mm-hmm. is just the way it works.
Well, that's exactly right. And it happens all the time. People with unresolved stuff. I like your clinical phraseology mm-hmm. here. And with about anything.
Right.
Being hurt, harmed, abused, raped, anything in which I have suffered, if it's not really brought into a relationship and resolved, it's going to continue to be a part of me and it will drive the bus wherever I go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, there's a great question. What is driving your bus? Because if it's not being able to respond to God, do what's best for your life, repair problems, man, there's a lot of hope out there. And we can give it to you at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We really can. One of the things that happens is some people gain weight. Well, we're going to do lose it for life. What's the it? Is it the weight? No, it's the stuff inside. It's the stuff beneath the stuff that we hate that we're going to deal with. The it is the driving force or the bus driver. So we're going to reduce the size of the bus by changing bus drivers here. End of analogy. Let's go to...
We got a theme going here, Steve.
Yeah, we do.
It's
let's
true.
Let's talk over here to... wait just a second. Let me pull up... how about Catherine, Baltimore, Maryland, WAVA. How you doing?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. What's going on?
I wanted to talk about my marriage. My husband has an addiction to pornography, and he went to... every man's battle, and he seemed to be doing well, and we wanted to move ahead with our marriage, and so we went to the intimacy workshop, which was wonderful, but it turns out he was there was betrayal going on during that, and I ended up kind of crushing me, thinking that we had moved ahead. I've gained a ton of weight. I'm nervous about having sex with him. We did a while back, and it wasn't an hour later that he was asking to have sex again. I just want to know, I just need some help on figuring out what's the next step for me and trying to feel better about myself and work something out with this marriage.
Well, I am so sorry that he didn't do what almost all the guys do and get his act together. And we'll talk about what to do now. I think there's still a lot of hope, and I feel so sorry for you that you're having to go through this. So we'll talk about that after this.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life Live stay in the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you a set of 4 devotionals, 100 Days of Character, Peace, Prayer, and the newly released 100 Days of Healing. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops.
I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's been immensely helpful to me. That's why I continue to support the ministry with the hope that not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Glad that you're with us. So, Catherine, I'm going to just turn this over to Jill and Mylon here because I think there are some things you can do to recover, and I think there are other things that he needs to do to recover.
You know, Catherine, I'm going to share something with you that you may not be expecting, but... your husband is living in a dangerous world of sexual addiction. We can just tell. He's lying to you, and then you have sex or a session
it's
where you're
enough.
Making love. It's not enough. I want it an hour later. A sexual addiction creates an insatiable need for more of, same as food, same as a lot of other things. What you may want to consider, Catherine, how long have you been married?
30 years.
Okay. What you may want to consider is a legal separation. Because what it does is it says, if you won't cooperate from me, I will not put up with this anymore. I love you so much that I'm going to put down a very challenging but warm boundary that says, you can earn me back if you want me. And if you want to earn me back and preserve our marriage, then you're going to have to prove to me through all your different activities that this sexual addiction has been deeply conquered. And then I will consider coming back. I'm not divorcing you, but if a person has a sexual addiction, Catherine, who knows where they're spending money? You also need to protect yourself financially and to be able to establish a line in the ground where you can say, I'm no longer going to be encumbered by his debts and liabilities. So that's another thing. And then you may want to say, you know, we're not going to live together for a period of time. And you have a choice to win me back or not.
Let me say this. I think just the little incident of, well, first of all, he went to every man's battle. It wasn't enough for him because he didn't do the work. Secondly, correct, we have the sexual experience, and now he wants more. So what we have is what happens with all sex addicts. You cease to exist mm-hmm. as a human being mm-hmm. to him. You're an object.
Right.
You're not a present.
That's how it feels.
Mm-hmm. Well, right. Of course it does. And it's so sad for you because it's abusive. But no one would call it abuse because he might not even be using crummy words with you, but you feel it, you sense it, because you do not exist in his mind. You're an object to be used for his gratification. When you do that, we're all happy. When you don't, we're not happy. Well, you got to go beyond happiness, and you've got to do the right thing, which is hold him accountable and not enable evil in your home. Having sex with somebody that's had sex with somebody else, having sex with somebody who went to every man's battle and is still lying and cheating, that is enabling evil in your home. And so when you start getting some support for yourself and direction, his life is going to change because you're not going to put up with this stuff anymore.
Well, and could, guys, could there be a conversation prior to about, hey, sweetheart, I'm really confused. You did Every Man's Battle. We did the Intimacy and Marriage Workshop. We've been working on this, and yet your ability to connect the dots and to soothe yourself in a way that doesn't involve sexual acting out isn't there. And I'm wondering what you gleaned from all of that and, it, you know, how you're seeing us moving forward. And, Steve, your idea about maybe he needs to go again. You know, a lot of people go into rehab over and over and over again. We don't want that, but something didn't connect. And it's like, I think that we need to figure out why you don't have the ability to connect the dots, because this isn't making sense to me.
Right.
And I don't want to have to take it a step further where I have to then protect myself. I really love you and want you to get the help. So there's something deeper going on.
Have you talked to anybody about this? Have you sought help from anybody about this?
No, not in quite some time, no.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think he really feels great. He feels great about the not using pornography, but I just think that it's sort of misplaced that addiction with,
And so, so he's made a shift, which a lot of times that's what addicts do. They exchange one thing for another, right? So, I would commend him for not using the pornography, but now you feel like his porn star.
Yeah.
Right? And that, again, there's a disconnect that's happening inside of him. Instead of really being able to look at himself and treat you like a partner, you feel now like the object of his lust. And, you know, again, that's maybe a step better than pornography, but it's still not where it needs to be. There's still growth that needs to take place.
If he was drinking a fifth of vodka a day and he didn't drink a fifth of vodka one day, you wouldn't be excited about that. You'd just be waiting until he drank more vodka again. He would be miserable too. So just stopping something And then you've got to have, as Milam was saying, more and more of something else. So just stopping the pornography does not heal him from being a pornified, unfaithful man.
You see, he has no emotional intelligence to be able to create the emotional bond, the relational bond that God calls us to. That is a learned skill. If we didn't learn it at home growing up, then, and we didn't learn it in school, because school doesn't teach it.
Yeah,
it's not taught in our culture, emotional intelligence, yet Harvard Business Review says it's the number one leadership skill that is most important. Harvard Business Review says that. And the whole matter of emotional intelligence is something that, again, we teach in our book, How We Love, in the Comfort Circle. We teach people to learn to connect on an emotional basis. What is underneath the behaviors? What are the drivers? What are the feelings? And how long have those feelings been with you? Mm-hmm. And what do you feel like, you know, if you don't have this acting out? And what are the fears and the history of those fears? And perhaps even what's the abuse and the history of the abuse that started him down this path? Right. These are the kinds of discussions that need to happen. And they can happen with a good couples counselor. But I wanted to give you what I think should be in your hip pocket as the last card to play if none of this works.
And that is?
The separation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the separation. Okay, so really hope that somebody listening would hear this. Relapse in sexual addiction or relapse from a pornified man who's been using pornography, it isn't when he uses pornography again. It's when he stops doing the things that the treatment program said to do when he left, such as sustained victory calls every week, get into a support group for the problem, and then get into a men's Bible study and connect with other people, and if you need it, you get a counselor. When they stop doing that, or if they never start doing that, you should know that's the expectation. Then you say, honey, I'm really concerned. When you left there, you went to 4 meetings the first week. You didn't go to any meetings this week. I think you need to go back to Every Man's Battle. What? I'm not using pornography. No, but you're going to. Because you quit doing all the things that are healthy for you to rebuild our lives together. Go back. Don't wait for them to use or to be unfaithful. When they stop doing the things that are helpful, that's the first stage of relapse. And it's just going to always be a very crummy thing. Well, the next Every Man's Battle is coming up. And I hope and pray that if you have a man that is, you just say to him, okay, you need to go to this. Just get it taken care of, and then we can have the life we wanted to have. July 18th is that workshop. On the 25th of July, we do Intimacy in Marriage, and August 1st, we do Lose It for Life online. Very exciting. These intimacy intensives, never available to a person that's engaged, but now you could do it as a couple, and it could change your future for good forever. So why don't you just look into it? 1-800-NEW-LIFE to find out all about it. We're going to take a break. I'm going to come back. I'm going to go to Rachel from Mobile, Alabama after that. You can join us, 1-800-229-3000. And we've got another program after this, and you can watch us on Facebook Live. You can join me at 5 o'clock on Facebook for Going Deeper. We'll take a break, and then we'll be right back. And I think Larry Sonnenberg will join us, too. We'll do that. That'll be a great time. If you need some help, the number is 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It's just that simple. 1-800-NEWLIFE. People call us every day, and it's the beginning of a whole new way of living. It's all about transformation. That's what we want to see for you. All right. Music just keeps playing, doesn't it? I started going into the break a little early.
I know.
Yeah. So there it is. We'll be back after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Let's talk with, how about Rachel? We said Rachel, and here we are. Hi, Rachel. Welcome. How can we help you today?
Hi. I was calling because I just I have a situation. I just need to. I need as much help as I can get.
Okay.
Basically, my husband was involved in a group that spiritually abused him throughout the years. This is just spiritual abuse, nothing physical, anything like that.
What kind of things did they do that was spiritually abusive to him?
Well, this particular type of ministry that's kind of out there, they target college-age kids, and mm-hmm. they go on college campuses and different things like that. So they get you saved, you follow the Lord, and all these things, but there's a catch, and the catch is basically serving the Lord is obeying us, when you find out later.
Yeah. Okay. And so what did he do that was abusive?
All those things. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, just the whole nine from giving your money where you live.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Infringing upon just our rights as human beings.
Yeah.
To make decisions for ourselves and our family.
Right.
Things like that. Okay.
Is he continuing to do that now? Is he continuing to do that now?
He's been out. He's been out. We got out. I found the information out about the signs of those type of ministries. And
okay.
So he's been out, but he's been extremely depressed for several years. It's affected our five children who don't.
So what's
really
the question
understand.
For us? What's the question for us?
What can I do to basically help my family? I'm kind of like, he's getting better, but I'm mostly on my own. As far as like trying to help with the help for him, resources, it messed with our finances. Obviously, we didn't have money because a lot of money yeah. came from his connection with the church because he pastored as well to
okay.
help.
What kind of help is he getting?
We're not getting really any help. We went to a couple of churches where we've talked to people and things like that, but I think that. Their solution is getting involved okay. in church.
I'm gonna give you a solution. Okay. I'm gonna give you a solution, and then I'm gonna okay. turn over to Mylan and Kay. So here's what you would say.
Or Jill.
Okay. I'm sorry, Mylan and Jill. Sorry, those Kay just goes together with Mylan. Here's what I would say. It would be this, honey. I feel all alone, and I feel the weight of our whole family on me. You're getting better, but it's not fast enough. I'd like you to go see a psychiatrist and get on an antidepressant medication so that you can become the man you want to be, and I can have the husband I married, and we can get on with a great life. What do you think, Jill? Mylan, both of you, anything on this that she could do to help him?
Well, I certainly think that
my kids, and
your kids. Okay. Well, I certainly think that that's a good idea. And Rachel, I know it's hard when you don't have the resources, but I think, you know, I'm wondering, are there any Christians that you trust? Are there people outside of this church?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, actually, yeah, I just called, I called a particular church. I know that because of COVID things have changed, but I called.
Right.
So they didn't answer, so they give you a list of people who you should talk to, that you can call as an alternative. So I did that, and when I called the gentleman, again, his recommendation was something, I don't know if I should say it online, but basically his recommendation was go be a part of a particular denomination, demons need to be cast. I felt, okay, that's not what I'm looking
mm-hmm.
for.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. I was like, okay, and because of the, I've been reading and researching this a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I just need somebody who deals with spiritually abusive type that knows the dynamics of how right. to help me. I know you have the basic things that you need. I heard you earlier as you spoke to the other caller in reference to the children.
Yeah.
You know, basically absorb the emotional climate of the home, and that's what I feel has happened to my kids. That mm-hmm. now they're becoming enraged and they're enraged themselves and angry. And I don't know how to handle it, my kids.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there's a lot of free resources mm-hmm. out there, and especially community hospitals, etc. This is going to sound unusual to you, okay. what I'm going to say, but grief recovery can be a very powerful place for him because it's a group of people yeah. that are all communing together, talking, processing severe losses in their lives.
Yeah.
This became a family to him. This became a place of association, a place of care. I don't know if we don't have time to discuss this further, but, you know, it may have replaced a family. It may have been a family to him in somehow, some way. And he may have felt contained by the whole process of having somebody cover him, only to find out that there was an evil twist to this group. Mm-hmm. Even though they brought him to Christ, there was an unhealthy attachment they were creating. It was toxic, Jill. That's exactly right. And yet, it's our home. I work here. It's everything to me. Mm-hmm. And then I lose it because I realize that. And I just think that something along those lines of grief recovery, trauma recovery, that are offered by your community and your county doesn't have to offer or take a lot of money. So I would go there.
Let me put you on hold and see if we can help you think through. Maybe there's a counselor in that area we can find that could help him and direct you. And I'm really glad that you called. I'm going to send you Healing is a Choice and this Grief Workbook and the Life Recovery Bible. I think that's going to be helpful to you. I think Mylon's really on to it, doing the grief work. Mm-hmm. Larry Sonnenberg's here. And Larry, we're about to close out the program, but let's ask people to help us. And what do you have for us today?
Well, you know, I love testimonies. I'm going to save one I have ready for the next program. I want to talk about our workshops a little bit. You know, we have this marriage workshop coming in at the end of the month, end of July. And we just came off of Every Man's Battle this weekend, this Saturday. And I can't impress upon those of you who are still skeptical about going to a workshop online and thinking it's going to work. Because it is amazing how the counselors say every weekend, I can't believe these people are so connected. They're crying. They're covering one another. They're helping one another. They're questioning. Mm. They're not calling to account.
So
this happens at the workshops. And lives are changed. That's why we ask for your support. The lives are changed. And you know, Steve, one of our board members sent a note recently over the weekend about the number of nonprofits
going out
that are not going to make it.
Yeah, a third of them.
And we're going to make it because we're still providing services. A lot of these folks can't provide the services they used to provide. We can, and we are. And God's Holy Spirit is not being squandered by the use of technology and the use of Zoom.
And nobody does what New Life does.
Amen.
Nobody has a call show like this. Nobody does workshops and retreats to try to help people really grow.
And so that's why we seek your support.
Right.
And you know, we had a matching gift, $375,000, and we're $100,000 shy of that right now. We're gaining on it. But it's been a slow process, and we could sure use your help so we could close that out. Because that money is sitting there, we can't use it until you match it. So
many things that we want to continue to do, so many things we want to do to expand what we're doing. And anything we've ever done has been a partnership with folks that listen. So I really hope you'll help us.
Yeah. So you can call us at our 800 number. You could go online to newlife.com. You could put a check in the mail. You could do a stock transfer to New Life. You can call and find out how to do that. We just need your help, and we'll appreciate it when you give it. So thank you very much.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you can help us, it's the same number if you need help. And if you want to join us on the next program, 1-800-229-3000.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.